While those are going around, I'll go ahead and introduce the study this evening. We're going to begin something new tonight. We're going to be following a book that's titled Work Matters, Connecting Sunday Worship to Monday Work by an author named Tom Nelson. It's a book that looks like this. I saw it referenced recently in a RP Witness article by Steve Garber. You might remember a couple of months ago that he was interviewed on the subject of vocation and of work. And he's given most of his vocational life to the pursuit of understanding Christian worldviews and the promotion of that in a broad setting, and encouraging both those in Christian work as well as in secular work, and we're going to think of those definitions a little bit later, encouraging both of them to think of their work as something that God has given to them. From the back of the book, just by way of introduction, the blurb says, "Work. For some, this word represents drudgery and the mundane. For others, work is an idol to be served. If you find yourself anywhere on the spectrum from workaholic to weekend warrior, it's time to bridge the gap between Sunday worship and Monday work. Striking a balance between theological depth and practical counsel, Tom Nelson outlines God's purposes for work in a way that helps us to make the most of our vocation and to join God in His work in the world. Discover a new perspective on work that will transform your workday, and make the majority of your waking hours matter, not only now, but for eternity." By way of introduction, I want to ask the children a question. So if you are 10 and under, I have a question for you. What's your reaction when your parents say, "I have a job for you to do"? What do you think of when your parents say that? Your parents are here, so you might not want...
I saw Aaron smile, so...
I'll increase the age range. Anybody 18 and under, how about that? When your parents say, "I have a job for you to do," what is your reaction?
Usually, what is it?
You don't say, "Oh boy, gee, Dad, what is that job you have for me to do? I'd like to do that. I was just waiting for that." Would you rate your enthusiasm from 1 to 10? 10 being very enthusiastic or 1 being not very enthusiastic? Maybe parents need to leave the room. There may be cookies involved. Okay, well, I have a question for the moms. Moms, have you ever wondered about your significance when you meet an old friend who's now a successful lawyer, doctor, or something like that, and she asks you, "So, what do you do?" Any interaction there from the moms? I haven't struck a nerve yet. Yeah. You don't feel that?
Coolest job in the world.
All right. Good. Good. Okay. Dads, and I lumped in students or other adults here. How do you approach Monday morning now that the weekend is over? Good, very honest. 5 more days till Saturday is what he said.
Well,
not surprised that Sam counts the days.
That's true, yes.
I've always felt Mondays were easier than Fridays.
Really?
It was reversed then.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Why is that?
I think the general reason of just starting afresh rather than and then getting worn out as you go through the week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rather than this expectation of the weekend coming and getting excited because of it. So
yeah.
I usually reverse it.
Yeah, okay.
It's the difference between knowing there's gold in Oklahoma and reaching through a window and it just being out of your reach.
Mm-hmm.
Swing today on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That was very philosophic. Yeah, that was good. Okay, well, it's a fun way to introduce the subject, and we've had had some laughs, but the answers are still kind of revealing. I hope that those questions have prompted you to think a little bit about your attitudes towards work, especially. And they do touch on the subject of work, but as is the case with really all of our lives, that single subject doesn't really stand in isolation to everything else. It really is integrated with who we are. And so a study on work is also going to touch on subjects like humankind's nature, your relationship to Jesus Christ. And Lord willing, this study is going to lay out the teaching that God gives about these things, about work, nature, relationship to each other, relationship to God, among other things. And my desire is to promote a healthy attitude towards work. Not just a healthy attitude, but a Christian attitude towards it. It really is an important subject, and I jotted down four different reasons why I wanted to take it up. And the first reason is that I believe the subject is easily misunderstood. Even if it's well understood, it can be hard to implement. I just go back to the responses that we've made already to introductory questions about work and how we've laughed a little bit, and just fun questions have prompted responses that have been kind of across a spectrum regarding work. One side of the spectrum, you have in the extreme someone who hates work or dreads it or avoids it for a variety of reasons. On the other side of the spectrum, if you think of a road running down the middle and a ditch on either side, the other side of the spectrum, you might have one who makes work an idol. We have a term that we use that is fairly well known, the term workaholic. It's a term that's been adopted to describe a person who becomes obsessed or consumed about work. But it can also be misunderstood as it addresses a healthy understanding that slips not down into the extremes of those, but towards tendencies. So it's a subject that can easily be misunderstood, so it's wise for us to take it out up. Secondly, it's a subject that that does indeed touch so much of our lives. I said that none of our lives ought to be compartmentalized, and that's a real danger in the way that we tend to approach things. And there's a tendency to place Christianity even in a box and say, Christianity touches only what I do on Sunday. I go to church. I do the Christian thing. That's in this box here. But then when I'm done with Sunday, I put the box on the shelf and I take out this other box. And this other box is my workaday world. And this is the way I live in it. And that type of compartmentalization of our lives is something that our culture tries to do and tries to make this division in how we live in different areas of our life. And you really can't do that. Even ones that think they can compartmentalize have really just adopted a construct that fools themselves, and they're consistent all the way through, actually. They're consistent in maybe hypocrisy, but not in what they think of being genuine in each of these different boxes. So if you even think of the most narrow definition of work, we could say that work is a subject that does touch a lot of your life. We work 5 or 6 days a week, some 7 days a week, or try to avoid it 7 days a week. We work 8 to 10 hours a day, 40 hours a week or more. We also attach a whole lot of significance to it. It often defines who you are, or it may come to define the value that you place on yourself. And I hope you'll find that the Christian definition will lead you to understand these tendencies. Like I said, that's even in the most narrow definition. Work touches a lot of your life. But from our perspective, from a Christian perspective, we see it in the context of all of who we are and what we do. A third reason for taking it up is that the subject isn't treated very much. The article in the RP Witness by Steve Garber noted the fact that it's something that the church in general has not spoken to very much. In fact, I can't remember if it was in that article or whether it was in some of the responses or online that I saw it, that I read a quote from a member saying that they couldn't remember hearing teaching or preaching on the subject of work or vocation. And just given that fact, it prompts us to say, well, this is part of what the Bible speaks to, and since it's seemingly been a neglected subject, it's important for us to take it up. And a fourth reason for taking it up is that the Bible does indeed talk about it. Here are some subjects that you'll find in the Scriptures that relate to the subject of work and vocation. The Bible talks about work. In fact, you might even be able to quote the commandment that talks about work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and so on. So it addresses work very directly, right, in one of the Ten Commandments. But it comes up in a number of different areas as well. The area of creation and the commandments, the laws, and we also have subjects that in the Scriptures where the Bible addresses the relationship of that we have towards employment, being hired or working for someone else, which has to do with work. The Proverbs talk much about diligence and laziness. It talks about stealing and stewardship. These are all different subjects that the Scriptures teach on that are related to the subject of work and vocation. And so it's my desire to think about how we live before the face of God every day. It's appropriate that we follow what the Scripture says about a Christian attitude towards work. Going on by way of introduction then, let's talk about vocation. I'm going to open it up, and this is one of your discussion questions. I want you to define vocation. What does vocation mean? This is number two.
It's work that you regularly do to provide for yourself, provide for your daily needs.
Good. So work that you do to provide for your daily needs.
Calling.
Calling. Good. A job description that you have, yeah.
It's an attitude. It's something you're willing to get better at for the rest of your life.
Okay, good. So that you have given yourself to, that you're desiring to get better at through the rest of your lives. I'll ask those did I cut somebody off? Sorry. Some of you I know have taken Latin, so let me ask those that have taken Latin to tell me the root word here, voco or V-O-C-O, what does that mean?
I call.
That comes from a Latin word that is the word for call. We have a number of other derivatives. Voice, vocalization, vocation. It's related to calling, and that's the word that Danny gave there. It has that Latin root to it, and it has a Latin historical root as well. Before the Reformation, that term vocation was predominantly used to describe those that worked in their livelihood in spiritual or theological realms. Then even more narrowly, it's used in theological terms to describe what God does in calling especially sinners to salvation. So it was related especially to what was called a specific sacred jobs. That would be anything having to do with the service of the church, being a priest or a nun or someone who would serve in the church. That gave rise then to a division that still shapes a lot of thought today, a division between sacred and what's the opposite?
Non-sacred.
Maybe you've heard this before. Sacred and secular, yeah. There's a sacred-secular division in many people's minds that does rise out of really this older idea of, or actually a Catholic idea of what is sacred, and that sacred calling was usually called a vocation and called something that was assigned to have God's voice attached to it, and was much higher valued than anything else, which would be termed secular. So highest value on sacred, everything else is secular and would be of a second tier, and wasn't even given the term vocation. It was just a job. It was something secular. At the time of the Reformation, though, Luther especially, and Calvin following after him, brought a great shift in this thinking. They still maintained a very noble idea of serving Christ through the church. They still saw the value of those that might aspire to the office of pastor or elder. But the Protestant Reformation came to teach that non-religious occupations also express a Christian's calling, a Christian's work. And out of the Reformation, the term vocation came to be applied not just to those who served the church, but to those who served in secular callings as well. It's something that is a real benefit from the Reformation, to see that term has now come to be looked at as applying across the board. But I would guess that there still is, in many minds, something of a sacred, secular difficulty or misunderstanding, such that many times in evangelical churches, the idea of if you can, be a missionary or a pastor, and if you can't, then serve somewhere else, and that hierarchy has a falseness to it. Now, it is true that we see the office of a pastor, an elder, and missionaries to be an important and even a blessed calling, but we wouldn't, in a sense, elevate it over others and say, if you can't, then, well, I guess you're in the reject bin over here, and you just find something else to do. Instead, we find that the calling of God leads individuals into a variety of areas of work, and in those varieties, there's great blessing to be pursued. So, by way of definition, here is. Here's Wikipedia, the standard for everything. They say vocation is a term for an occupation to which a person is specially drawn or for which he or she is suited, trained, or qualified. Though now often used in non-religious contexts, the meaning of the term originated in Christianity. So even in Wikipedia, of all places, you can find the influence of a Christian worldview and specifically a Reformation worldview coming out. There is the occupation towards which a person is drawn, suited, trained, qualified, and labors in. On the bottom of your page there, I copied a quote here. I thought it would be easier for you to read it rather than to just hear it. This is a quote by Dorothy Sayers about some of the problems that, or her observation about that sacred secular distinction. "In nothing has the church so lost her hold on reality as in her failure to understand and respect the secular vocation. She has allowed work and religion to become separate departments and is astonished to find that as a result, the secular work of the world is turned to purely selfish and destructive ends, and that the greater part of the world's intelligent workers have become irreligious or at least uninterested in religion." I thought that very appropriate to see how in some sense, the failure of the church to address this important topic has left the world to define work by its own terms, to define them in terms that are atheistic or uncaring about God and His law. By way of summary for tonight, then, the author, Tom Nelson, says this: "Properly understood, Christian vocation is centered in a sovereign God who calls us to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and to follow Him in the power of the Holy Spirit as His disciples. The good news of the gospel is that a transforming relationship with God is not based on anything we have done or could ever do, but on what Christ has done already, for us by shedding His atoning blood on the cross. In Christ, we experience a new birth, and we live brand new lives in His kingdom here and now. We are and continue to be transformed in and through the power of the gospel. Our work, too, is transformed. When we come to the foot of the cross, we bring with us what we do as well as who we are. The gospel properly understood leads to a seamless faith. His title is expressed in that comment, the idea of a seamless faith, connecting Sunday worship to Monday work. And it's that desire of the author to say who you are as a Christian does indeed influence the way you work and the occupation that you pursue, the work that you do. In that quote as well, you might recognize a couple of different things playing out, and the author calls attention to something that Oz Guinness has described as a primary calling regarding our relationship to God in Jesus Christ. So there is a very strong element of the gospel that informs us, because we are related to Jesus Christ by his sacrifice. It's that primary calling then that pours out into what Guinness calls our secondary calling, referring to our work. And his comment is basically that the first ought to and actually will shape the second. You will work according to what you believe. You can't separate the two. And so we want to be conscious about what we believe about ourselves, about God, about what he's given to us as our work, and then to live that out each day. So this will be our study. Let me pass me the discussion questions there. I'll just take up one of these discussion questions. I'll let you take these home and think a little bit more about these on your own. But I'd like to just open it up to ask you number six here. What are some ways that you currently connect your Sunday faith to your Monday work? This is a fairly open question for you to reflect on how it is that you're already understanding who you are in God's sight and how that connects to your Monday work.
Well, I hope our faith isn't just a Sunday faith.
Amen. Amen. That's going to be one of his points. It's asked kind of provocatively because I think he understands our culture that it's a Sunday faith that much of the evangelical world lives in.
Something we need to consider with the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm. She said it's something to consider with elections coming up, that candidates' view of what they believe and how that affects their governing is very important. And you'll hear them say, oh, it doesn't affect my governing, but don't be fooled. Yeah, Derek?
Conference I went to this week had a prayer breakfast one morning. That was really neat. Mm-hmm. Fostered an atmosphere of discussing and praying for the issues that come up in our profession from a Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The practical way that ideas work out.
Very good. Yeah, Derek said that at his conference there was a prayer breakfast and fairly honest conversation about how faith interacts with their specific line of studies.
First, there's also the Bible verse 2, all faith is unto the Lord, so
mm-hmm.
servants, their slaves, supposed to work to the Lord and not just when the master is watching.
Mm-hmm. Very good. She said to work as unto the Lord, that we work as serving the Lord whether or not the master is watching, and recognizing that everything that we do is under God's sight. Jeff?
It seems to me the very first thing is that we do work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was trying to think about this with the, as we were discussing it. Remember, in like most of our jobs, we interact with people, right? So you could certainly, there's lots of ways you can apply your Christian faith to your interactions with others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and how you treat them, how you treat your graduate students, and so on. There, you know, there's a lot of room for that. But I was thinking about, well, there's maybe some job, maybe they're imaginary, but I'm thinking of either a farmer or maybe a craftsman, certainly some farmers, or maybe a craftsman who just makes things that he then sells to other people, not custom items, but just things he makes and then sells them. You could have that job where you really don't interact with people hardly at all. But I don't think you could, then you could say your Christian faith doesn't apply at all. It does. It applies at least to the very first thing, which is doing your work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And probably even in that case, it probably still applies with respect to the quality of your output. So you don't, if you were the farmer, right, you wouldn't want to sell grain with the
grain.
Yeah. Whatever. If it somehow been sold with your work.
Right, right. Well, all the way down to a stewardly use of the land, of not depleting the resources, or Derek could speak to that probably better than I could.
Well, and I think like just remembering all the time that, you know, Christ is transforming you, even when you're just sitting there working by yourself. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of times I have this mindset of, oh, I'm going to go to Sunday and worship, and that's where I'm going to experience Christ, and the rest of the week is just like, oh, can't wait, you know, for Sunday again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think just like reminding myself, no, Christ is sanctifying me in this, you know, he's still with me in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of really fascinating levels. Hanno is saying that even as a wood carver, a craftsman is interacting with the world that God has made and enjoying its beauty and reflecting that and experiencing it. So lots of different levels where our attitudes about, not just our attitudes, but our actions are going to reflect our relationship to Christ. Anything else?
I think also setting your heart on things about the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Memorizing God's word and meditating on it throughout the day instead of thinking about how rude that customer was to you or something.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
A silly example of what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Those goals that you reach for and might not be able quite to grab. Aaron?
I like to think that Sunday I'm worshiping God, and the other 6 days I'm trying to gain appreciation for what he's created.
Mm-hmm.
And like at work, well, in engineering, maybe it's selfish, I like to think of God as an engineer. I'm sure doctors like to think of God as a doctor, and well, I'm not sure lawyers would ever think of God as a lawyer.
It's a just judge.
But noticing all of, like in all these classes where, you know, people, when God sat there and looked at his creation after the 6 days and said, this is very good, that wasn't, I mean, it wasn't just what was there. It was all of the things, you know, Tubal-Cain started with making different things out of steel and stuff. And from then on, like, the dynamic capabilities of God's creation as far as what man has been able to put it use to. And I see it in other professions, too, you know, like literature and
mm-hmm.
words and food and every, like, just everything that... Like, and it helps me appreciate why the fall made God so angry.
Mm-hmm.
He took all of this wonderful stuff that is so balanced. And, you know, they talk about how universal constants, if they were off by one digit, the whole universe would implode on itself or something, and how we just threw that into space. And then I come back on Sunday and say, well, this week I saw this and this, and that was pretty cool, God.
So yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. 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 Very good.
Bruce?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which scientist said it, but there was someone somewhere I remember reading about who said that discovering things about God's will is an act of worship itself. I think there is a sense in which anyone in any vocation, you know, that has this godly vocation, can say they feel the pleasure, God's pleasure when they're doing it as well. Just the way that the runner, what's his name?
Eric Liddell. Yeah. And so she said that there's the scientist that has said that discoveries are, in a sense, an act of worship, that we feel God's pleasure in doing things well. And let me say as well that this applies not just to occupations, but let me also say that our comments have tended in that direction, because work usually makes us think about what is done outside the home. But let me also affirm the calling, the vocation of wife and mother, and say that there's a glory of God that is experienced and seen and known in pursuing that calling as well. And let you know that this study will also embrace some of that side of the question too.
I thought you were going to go on to avocations.
Yeah. Well, I thought about saying that maybe the moms think of God as a mother, but it's a mother hen. Good. Well, very fruitful discussion to start things off, and I'll close our study tonight and invite you to share prayer requests. Again, take these home with you and let it be a matter for conversation among yourselves and thoughts among yourself as well.